Okay, at the bottom, it's 168, yeah? 168. At the top, it's 92. Shh. Last week, we didn't learn too much inside the book because we're giving an introduction about Kedusha and Klipa and what happens. Anyway, we're going to start. Two, four, six lines at the bottom of the page. 168 at the bottom, 92 on top. Okay, Alter Rebbe is explaining that the ultimate revelation that he spoke about in the previous chapter, with meaning the essence of God becomes revealed in a way that there's no more concealment, and the world will be able to handle it, unlike what happened when Hashem gave us the Torah, that Hashem had to revive us with the dew that he's going to resurrect the dead with. Says that is dependent on our work and service of Hashem for the duration of Golus. And he explains, because what happens, the revelation of Hashem is caused by the work, right, of revealing God into the world. And he says, what does the mitzvah accomplish? A mitzvah accomplished that he takes things that until the Jew dealt with it, it was evil. Remember again, evil, as we defined last week, Chassidus says, in anything which is not holy. If it's not holy, it's evil. There's two levels of evil. There's a level of evil that you could elevate. There's a level of evil that you can't elevate. Those things that we're able to... There's a Tanya here, by the way. There's another Tanya on this table. What Hashem says we could elevate means it's klipas noiga, it's evil that shines within a little bit of good, and therefore we have the ability to elevate it. And he says like this, Shem kol dvarim tahirim umutarim, any kosher object, shenasa be'amamitza maisis, that you do a physical action with. And he says, for instance, klaf ha-tfilin, you take parchment for tfilin and mezuzah, or sefer Torah, or k'maymer azal, like our sages tell us, le'yuch shalem lechash shamayim, that for the holy work, meaning for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, it has to be Tehedim Umetorim Beficha. It has to be from animals that you would be allowed to eat, meaning kosher animals. V'chein Esrig, the same thing, to do a mitzvah with Esrig, which is not Arla. Arla means the first 3 years when you have a plant, you plant a tree. The first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the fruits. Not only can you not eat it, you cannot benefit from it either. You just have to let him rot, so to speak. So if somebody will take an esrig, that's arla, from the first 3 years of his planting, you can't do a mitzvah with that. You can't, in other words, Alter Rebbe is explaining, a mitzvah is to elevate that part of the world that Hashem allows us to elevate, because it's not forbidden. Anything which is forbidden, you can't do a mitzvah with. And like in the parenthesis, in the Haggadah, Alter Rebbe gives an example. Any mitzvah that you do out of a sin. If somebody steals money and does a tzedakah with it, that's not a mitzvah. Because mitzvah means you're elevating the physical world that God allowed us to elevate. Because like we learned last week, the godliness that's in it is not bound to evil. It's loose. And therefore, when you do a mitzvah, you separate the good from the bad, and the good becomes included in holiness, and the evil falls away to the side. But that's only something that we could have the ability to elevate. And he says, or, mois tzedakah, money for tzedakah, she'enim gezel, which is not stolen money, because stolen money you can't give as tzedakah, or creates them or similar things. So he says like this, when you take such permissible items, a kosher esrig, kosher leather, kosher wool, whatever it is. Va'achshav shemekayim b'hem, mitzvah Hashem v'ritzenik. And now the Jew takes this physical object, right? The physical candle, physical wax, kosher, you know, that you can light Shabbos candles with, and you do a mitzvah with it. What happens? He says, this is what happens. Ha'achayish b'hem. The godliness that's in this physical object, Eilog elevates itself, umizbatol v'nichlol be'erdin tzav baruch hu, becomes elevated and included in godliness itself, shuritzayne yizbarech amalubesh b'hem, which is the will of God that's in the object. For instance, even when it's not a mitzvah, like we learned last week, an apple. Okay? An apple is a kosher food. An apple is not holy. It's not holy. An apple, if you know, falls on the floor, you don't kiss it. An apple is not holy. But it's kosher. Therefore, the Jew can elevate it. So what happens when a Jew takes an apple, makes a bracha on it, and eats it for the right purpose? Now, the Rebbe says, this is what happens. There's a spark of godliness, of kedusha, in the apple. The apple itself is evil. It's not kedusha. And therefore, the spark of godliness that's in the apple is mixed together with the apple. When a Jew does a mitzvah with the apple, i.e. makes a bracha, eats it for the right purposes, they take the spark, they separate that godliness that was in the apple, and that becomes elevated to kedusha. So what did you accomplish? You revealed godliness in the world. When something is holy, mitzvah objects usually become holy. This sefer is holy. Why is this sefer holy? What does it mean it's holy? What does it mean that a chumash is holy? A sefer, what does it mean when you say a siddur is holy? What does it mean it's holy? Holiness means it's a place where godliness is revealed. Why is godliness revealed in the sefer? Because the paper of this sefer was utilized to serve Hashem, to write Torah on it, or davening on it. It was used for the service of Hashem. Therefore, it becomes holy. What does holy mean? There's a greater revelation of godliness in it. The reason you and I don't see it, if we wouldn't know what book it is from the distance, we wouldn't see if it's holy or not. That's because we don't have good eyes. We need good glasses. But the fact is, this book became holy. So the fact that now we are making the world holy by doing mitzvahs, and basically revealing godliness into the world, even though we don't see it yet, that prepares the world that when Mashiach comes and godliness will be revealed in the world, that the world will be able to handle it. Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah, was such a great revelation of godliness, the souls popped out of the body, the world couldn't handle it because they didn't do mitzvahs, which basically prepares the world for this revelation of godliness. When you do a mitzvah, you make the physical world a vessel for godliness to be revealed. And the truth is, right now, godliness is revealed in it. Tzaddikim can look at the book and they'll see right away that it's holy. But what's unique, according to Chassidus, is not only when you do a mitzvah, you're making the world holy. When a person eats an apple, meat, I mean kosher stuff, the proper way, they make, now the Rebbe said earlier in Tanya, they elevate that food and it becomes the same level as holiness as a sacrifice. That's how holy it becomes. When you take a physical object and utilize it for the service of Hashem, that elevates it to a stage of godliness. It's as holy as a sacrifice. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining that this revelation of Mashiach, that the physical world will see and scream godliness, that is dependent on how much of that pre-work we're doing to make it happen. And what's unique, the Alter Rebbe says, he says, Kozman Meshech HaGolus. He said before, it's during the duration of exile. Because when things are easy, when there's a revelation of godliness all over the place, and godliness is sensed and felt and everybody sees godliness, the revelation that you accomplish is not that great. Because when you add light to light, it doesn't show that much. When you show light to in darkness, it shines much brighter. There's an interesting Gemara The Gemara says about doing bedikas chametz at night, you have to search for the chametz at night, you can't do it during the day. It says an expression in the Gemara concerning many things, shiraga betiara mayhani. What light does a candle do during the day? Okay, take a room which is lit up and bring a candle into the room. The candle doesn't do anything. Bring a candle into a dark room, the candle does a lot. So basically, Chassidus says like this. When the world is in a high spiritual level, like it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, and you did mitzvahs, you brought more light into the world, the accomplishment wasn't that great. During the duration of exile, when it's spiritually dark and cold and dreary, and then you bring in the light of a mitzvah, the accomplishment is much greater. It's a much greater level of light. And therefore, one of the reasons, by the way, when people always look for the good in the bad, Torah teaches us you have to find the good in the bad. What's the good of Golus? What good of being in exile for 19 or 2,000 years and going strong? What's the uniqueness of being in Golus? What's the good of it? The answer is very simple. Because what we can accomplish now in bringing light into the world, they couldn't accomplish in the time of the temple. Because when there's light, light doesn't do anything. Bring a candle into a lit room, it doesn't do anything. If they go into the sunlight and light a candle, what's it going to do? It doesn't do anything. So Hashem makes Golos to give us a better opportunity to bring more light into the world. So therefore, really what we do during the Golos is the ultimate accomplishment, and that's why Hashem makes Golos. And that's why Chassidus explains, the bigger the high, the lower the pre-high has to be. Because the third Beis HaMikdash is the greatest of them all, like between the first and the second temple was 70 years. That's it, 70 year exile. And they knew beforehand that they're going in for 70 years. What does it mean? Because the second Beis HaMikdash was not that much greater than the first. So 70 years of a down was enough for the high, for the hype. The third Beis HaMikdash is so infinitely greater than the other two. The hype is so great that the preparation for the third Beis HaMikdash has to be a tremendously great low. And when a Jew takes the low of Golus and brings light into it by doing Torah mitzvahs or business and not eating or whatever it is, serving Hashem, that prepares the world that when the ultimate revelation happens, the world can handle it. And we're not going to explode.
So what did Matan Torah do then, that Golus is doing all that and what Matan Torah doing?
Without Matan Torah, Golus wouldn't be able to do anything. In order for a Jew to be able to serve Hashem, to reveal godliness in the world, correct? They first need a push from above. Correct? Matan Torah gave the ability for a number of things to happen. Number one, Matan Torah allowed the unity and harmony of physical and spiritual. The physical world became holy. And Matan Torah's descent of God coming into the world, you know, it's a very interesting expression of Chassidus. Matan Torah is not going to happen again. Matan Torah is not happening again. That means even the revelation of the first temple, the second temple, the third Beis HaMikdash of Mashiach, was all because of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is not happening again. That revelation of God on Har Sinai allowed all future revelations of godliness to happen. So Matan Torah allowed us to take the physical world and make it holy. The patriarchs Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not do that. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not take the physical world and make it holy. They couldn't do that because before the Torah was given, there was a decree, spiritual is spiritual, Physical is physical. You cannot mix the two. No shidduch. That's it. So everything spiritual the patriarchs of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah did was only in the spiritual realms. The physical world did not become holy. Because there was no Matan Torah yet. So Matan Torah accomplished a few things as far as the coming of Mashiach. Number one, it allowed the unity between physical and spiritual that you can now take the physical world and make it holy, which is what Mashiach is all about. And secondly, God's coming down in Har Sinai gave the Jew the ability to do it for all time. But Golus accomplishes much more than the Jews did during the first temple. The more difficult something is to do, the greater the accomplishment. The greater the darkness, the greater the light. That's why Hashem does this. He's not that bad after all. Even though when you listen to what's going on in the world today, you wonder. But bottom line is that Hashem, in everything negative, it's really only for the sake of higher revelations that couldn't happen without the evil happening. What can I tell you? You know, we said many times the famous philosophical question, if you would be God, would you run the world differently? Whoever answers yes is a complete, total, apikritis and non-believer. Not a partial non-believer. A complete, total non-believer in the whole concept of God. Complete. Not partial. Not 99%. 100% apikritis, non-believer in God.
Couldn't you just say they're just ignorant?
No, but I'm saying if somebody comes along and could say, if I would be God, I would run... You know, a person doesn't know. They don't know. They're ignorant. Correct. But to say the statement, if I would be God, I would run the world differently, then you don't have the definition of what God means. Because God is the ultimate good perfection, ultimate. God runs the world, by definition, in the best possible way. Just because me and you or everybody else in the world doesn't think he's doing such a great job, and if God would have elections today, I don't know if he would win, but God's not a democracy. He does run the world in the best possible way. And by saying that he doesn't, means conceptually that you don't believe in God. Because God is the ultimate everything.
So what do you say to someone who suffered something very tragic?
You try to comfort them, and you don't try to justify God. The Rebbe, there's many printed letters in the Rebbe about the Holocaust that people started rationalizing and, you know, why God did it and this and that. And the Rebbe told him, stop. Stop justifying God for what he did. A Jew needs to complain to God why he did what he did, but it cannot hinder their observance. You know, you still need to believe and do everything. But the complaint, a Jew needs to complain to God. And I'll tell you a little secret. If we wouldn't complain to God, Hashem would be upset why we're not complaining. Not about ourselves. God doesn't like when you complain about yourself. You know, why don't you get this, why don't you get this? But when a Jew complains about another Jew, another Jew's problems and tzaras and, you know, tragedies that happen, if a Jew wouldn't complain to God, God would be upset. Why aren't you complaining about that Jew? You know why God does things to these people? That's what Hashem wants us to do.
When you do it for yourself, do you get more of it? What happens?
No, Hashem doesn't like when we complain because we have to think we probably deserve worse.
So there's something
good. Yeah. No, so Hashem enjoys when we complain.
About other people.
Right. Do you know that I mean, you see it in Chumash, but the Dara Flogger versus the Dara Mabel. But you know, a teacher who's not only teaching a subject, he's teaching life to the kids. When a kid gets in trouble, okay, and other kids try to stick up for the kid in trouble, the teacher should be happy about that. And if the other kids wouldn't stick up for the kid that's in trouble, the teacher should be upset about it. Because in life, life demands that there should be unity and friendship between people. Not to say, oh, this kid got in trouble, okay, he deserves it. You know, let him be punished, he deserves it. In the philosophy of the world of Torah, he said, what do you mean he's punished? He shouldn't be punished. Not the kid screaming, I shouldn't be punished. Saying other kids should be screaming that the teacher's not, you know, that the teacher shouldn't be punishing them.
But what if he should be punished?
That's between the teacher and the student. But when the teacher sees the kids are sticking up for somebody else, that should cause them joy. It should cause them joy. Just like a parent, there are a bunch of kids, and one kid gets into trouble. The parent will want the other kids to stick up for the other kid. Listen, I don't want to say this. I'm going to close the tape because I don't want to be on record.